Dustin Dupirak joins us at Dustin Dupirak on the Twitterverse, the Pacers beat writer for the IndyStar.com. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing fantastic, Les. How about yourself, man?
I tell you what, when the youngsters wearing that blue and gold get it moving and get up and down the court, I don't know if there's any better value in the NBA. I know you can watch your favorite stars. We've got a couple, definitely one in the making at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. But this Pacer team, you saw flashes of it last year. They kept everybody together going into this season, and now you're off and running. 7-4, 2-0 in the in-season tournament. And Tyrese Halliburton, I know Mark Boyle threw a little cold water on this. I thought that was funny from the veteran broadcaster. But, boy, Halliburton is absolutely something else. You had a front row seat in Philly these last two games. 32 assists, no turnovers. Well, only person in NBA history better than that is Tyrese Halliburton.
It was phenomenal. It was absolutely fantastic just the way he played and shot the ball extremely well. I think 25 points on the first night, and I think it was 29 on the second night. Let me double check that while I got that. But yeah, I mean, he was shooting the ball really well and just being really smart with the basketball and the pace and the tempo with which they play with. I mean, he could just, you know, just fling it up the floor and find guys open. He's just very good at sort of, you know, everybody wants to run with him. They know that he's going to find them when they're in transition. So they get going, they get running, and just it is a thing of beauty when it's really rolling. And he obviously makes the whole thing work. But yeah, no, he's been special these last couple games. And I mean, I saw the word dark horse MVP thrown around on Twitter today. And that's a ways, you know, like obviously, you know, you're Jokers, your Embiids, your Giannis's are probably still at a different level, but he's not that distant the way he's playing right now. I mean, obviously there will be some kind of coming back to a level. You know, he's going to have some turnovers and he's going to miss some shots. But the quality of play over the last couple in Philadelphia is MVP caliber stuff. And if the Pacers end up overperforming to the point of being a four or a five seed or something like that in the East, you know, that would be up for discussion. If they're obviously lower to the bottom of you know, being a playoff team, you know, be less of that, but still, he's just been spectacular, and you've just seen just the full force of this transition offense. I mean, they're just, I think they're still first in the league in scoring, and the pace has just been phenomenal. It's just, it has been something else to watch offensively. You know, defensively, obviously, they have.
There's the other side of that coin. But hey, we know what sells tickets. If you want to fill up Gainbridge, no one's showing up for 92-88. And again, you have to play situational defense in the NBA. We always talk about this. It is not 48 minutes of defense. It's the last 5 minutes probably where you've got to be able to lock a guy down. But giving up 50 to Maxey and 37 to Embiid on Sunday, the defense was better on Tuesday. Is it just simply making more shots, or is it a concerted effort to get to the glass like you wrote about?
There was both. I mean, the concerted effort to get their last was really important. They took that serious. I mean, I think they're not a bad rebounding team, generally. They're not a good one, and they were worse in the league last year. So, but they shouldn't get trucked like that, 54-32, like they do. Obviously, it's tough when you're dealing with Embiid. I mean, he's just such a force around the rim, you know, 7'2", 280, and probably – honestly, bigger than that. These guys are generally underweight when it comes to their listed weight. And he's just such a force. I mean, he's just capable of just pushing just about anybody around when you're getting close to the rim, and he really, really did. But where it got really sideways is where Tobias Harris really started busting them up, you know, especially in the second half of just being there for offensive rebounds. And they end up with 30-second chance points, and that's what killed them. So they took it seriously over the other couple of days. But they also did there was an important tweak on defense, just what they did strategically. Basically, they have tried to, you know, their new defensive scheme is trying to be as one-on-one as possible and two-on-two when it comes to pick and roll. It's basically, the idea is to limit three-point shots as much as you can by not leaving shooters and just saying, hey, you know, guard your man, we'll live with the points in the paint, we'll live with you getting beat off the dribble if we're not also giving kick-out threes. If we can take those away, you got a better chance of winning the game. That's kind of what they're sort of banking on. And Maxey and Embiid were able to cook them that way, because there really wasn't any nail presence. You know, there wasn't anybody sort of helping at the nail when they were doing these kind of elbow pick and rolls over and over again, and Maxey was just cooking people, just getting downhill and getting to the rim, and that was easy. And if they did, you know, if they did a better job of 2-on-2 defense, he was hitting step back threes. So that all just led to just an explosion from those two guys to combine for 87. So their view was, all right, if you just bring a little bit of help, just bring somebody a little bit off their shooter and live with a couple more threes, then you've got a better chance. If you can just make life a little harder on Maxey, then, you know, the math works. And they end up giving up a bunch of three-pointers to Melton, so there was some trade-off. But, I mean, Maxey goes down to about, what was it, 30. And, I mean, that's still a really, really good night. And, obviously, Embiid was phenomenal as well. He had 39. And, yeah, Melton had 30. Maxey had 27. But they end up going 6 of 22 from 3. And, you know, you slow down Maxey and Embiid just a little. They go 20 of 45 from the field. So you're making them work, ultimately, and that ended up being a smart decision. I don't know if that's going to be a long-term thing where they're going to say, hey, maybe we should just generally help more, but I think they're going to look at it when they are dealing with a group of superstars, you know, point guard, center, you know, running that 1-5 pick and roll, and it's getting that easy, then they've got to bring somebody over to help just to get in the way, at least, so they're not just absolutely just breaking you down, getting the rim.
Yeah, you got to slow it up one way or the other, because as we learned and we have seen, you know, you can score 151 night, you can give up 151 night. It's just the wild swings are going to be the wild swings. But does this team, in your opinion, have enough offensive firepower to run at this level, to score in the 120s and 130s? Miles Turner is probably the second most sure thing here. Benedict Mathurin, we've seen him injected into the starting lineup. He's kind of had a little bit of a roller coaster ride. That's not terribly surprising for somebody that young.
Sure. No, I mean, I think a big piece of it is it does come back to Halliburton is finding the open man. You know, whoever that might be, whoever is ahead on the break, all those kinds of things. Like you said, Miles Turner as the center ends up being the guy who's the most steady scorer. Mathurin's had some really good games. Mathurin's had some shaky games. He only played 16 minutes the other night. He was phenomenal against Milwaukee. That might have been the best game I've ever seen him play. You know, on both ends, you know, shot the ball well, scored well, but also had two really important
beating Milwaukee. You've never seen them beat Milwaukee.
Nope. I mean, I saw them happen last year after Andrew Nemhard beat them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
last year in Milwaukee when Halliburton was out, Nemhard went off for like 26, just went wild in the second half of that game. But Mathurin was in a position where he got switched on to Giannis, and that's a situation he should usually lose. But did a really good job of fighting there, picked his pocket, you know, had a block and picked his pocket another time. And those were two really important stops that helped them win that basketball game. And then Philadelphia, he wasn't as good, but I mean, you still see him growing. Obi Toppin has had games where he's kind of disappeared, but the last two in Philadelphia, he was fantastic with 12 of 15 from the floor for 27 points, 6 rebounds. In that game on Tuesday was super, super important. And I thought a pretty, you know, what was fighting was at least matching Tobias Harris. Harris was much more productive. This time was 11 of 17 from the floor for 22. But, you know, Toppin was at least giving him something and then coming back on the other end and getting his 27. So it comes down to different guys are going to score every night. You know, some nights it's going to be Toppin, some nights it's going to be Mathurin, some nights it's going to be Buddy making threes, some nights Bruce Brown's going to have a big night. That's going to be the nature of this group, is because Halliburton's going to find the open guy, he's going to find the guy who's working, he's going to find the guy who's hitting shots. So that's going to lead to a lot, you know, different guys having big nights on different nights. You know, some guys are going to be cold. You know, Aaron Nesmith's had some great games. He was 2 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 5 on Tuesday. He's had some 25, 26-point games. Super critical on defense. You know, he had to take on Joel Embiid for a little while, which is a tough assignment for a guy who's 6'5". You know, he made him work. And so, you know, like, there's a lot of guys making contributions. The scores are going to be different every night because it's just going to be based on, number one, who's getting open, who's getting down the floor, and also just who happens to be making shots.
Dustin DePirak, at Dustin DePirak on the Twitterverse. IndyStar.com, beat writer for Pacers basketball. That's right. Let them dogs out. Howl at the moon. Let's go. We'll get to the in-season tournament here in a minute, because I know it's new and exciting, but not everybody understands it. I'll have you explain that. But you brought up Bruce Brown. He's new. He got his contract. Nesmith just got an extension as well. That's steady and solidifying for Nesmith. He just wants to play. You can tell on the court. He does not worry about anything except basketball. But Brown, has he fit in so far the way the Pacers envisioned him to? I thought he was more of a, perhaps a little bit of a defensive stopper. And
to be fair, we haven't stopped much defensively.
No. Yeah, I mean, he's been okay. I mean, he's been okay, sometimes better than okay. But yeah, I mean, he has not walked in the door and, you know, that here's your guy that's going to take somebody out. Like, he hasn't had one of those nights yet where he's taken a superstar and eaten him alive and, you know, shut him down. That hasn't happened yet, but I mean, I think he's he's the best defender on the floor with what they start. I mean, it is an issue that basically they have, even though they invested in defense, they ultimately put a lot of their best defenders on the second unit, with Nemhard, McConnell, whenever he is playing, and Nesmith. It's a better defensive unit on the second line than the first line is right now. And so Bruce Brown is the guy who's taking on the superstars. It's as hard as it looks because, he's the guy who's taking on Tyrese Maxey and not getting a lot of help doing it. And so he's losing some of those battles. So, I think there was more hope that they would get better out of it, or that he would be more of a shutdown guy. I mean, maybe it was important to be a little more realistic about what he was going to do with this lineup next to him that seems to really, really want to run and score, but doesn't necessarily have a secondary really good defender. He's always on these islands. It is a tough assignment, and he's finding that out. But I think he's been pretty productive offensively, scored the ball pretty well. You could see him shoot it. Obviously, he's a guy that gets rolling in transition just like Toppin does, and he's getting some points that way. Can really handle the ball, break defenses down. Like, he's a valuable player. Is he, I'm sure there are people that are looking at it and say, well, I was kind of hoping for more from that. But I wouldn't say that there's no value to him. Obviously, they still have a decision to make at the end of this year about whether they're going to pick up his option for next year for the second part of this deal. He's been better than not. He's been a useful addition. Has he been everything he was cracked up to be? I don't know if I'd go that far.
And again, we're 11 games in. It's hard to make referendums on MVPs or anything else. You haven't even seen the full league once yet. So I'll take a deep breath as well. But all of the focus in these early week Tuesday games here in the early part of the season is the NBA play-in tournament. Let me see if I have this right. There are three groups of five in each league. So that would be six groups of five total. All group winners, after playing each team in a round robin, will advance, and there will be two overall wild cards to go into a quarterfinal round of eight. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, good. And then we'll have four in one league and four in the other, as I'm guessing is how this is going to happen, right?
I think that's right. I feel like I've got to double check to make sure that.
Okay, so we'll get to that point at some point. But this is all going to be wrapped up well before Christmas. This is all coming thick and fast. But the Pacers are 2-0 in their group play with two more games to play. That's a pretty good spot. How serious or how excited? I don't know what the right word is. What do they feel about all that?
I mean, they're pleased about it. I mean, I think obviously they're certainly aware that it's an in-season tournament and that it doesn't mean anything for playoffs.
But they're going to get paid if they win.
They're going to get paid if they win it. And I think they're, Halliburton mentioned, he's like, look, man, I've never been in a playoff game. So I'm playing for, this is an opportunity to play for a trophy. So I'm taking it seriously. Like, I care about this. I mean, he has pitched the idea personally of saying, like, I think that that they should make it a scenario where whoever wins the play-in tournament gets a playoff berth.
Amen.
Some kind of, team recognition or team value to winning the tournament. But he's looking at this and saying, we haven't won anything like this. I haven't been anywhere close to this. So I'm not going to, thumb up my nose at this when I've never played in a playoff game. I'd be perfectly happy to go to Vegas and come back with a trophy. That's worth it.
The most important part of this is these games count towards the playoffs that we're going to worry about later. It's not a separate.
Exactly.
It's not a separate realm or vacuum. It's just a different way of counting it.
No, certainly, and there are. You're looking at this again. Like on both sort of tracks that it's on, you look at the games that they played so far. They have beaten Cleveland and they have beaten Philadelphia in the in-season tournament. And obviously, both of those were the 3 and 4 seed in the East last year. So those are legit, big time wins. And like left on the board, they've got Atlanta and Detroit. And so, Atlanta has only played one game so far. They're 1-0, and Atlanta is the only team that can beat the Pacers out, as I understand it. I mean, basically, if the Pacers beat Detroit and they're 3-1, Atlanta then has to, beat the Pacers and run the table, and that's the only way the Pacers don't win the group. They could obviously lose both games, and then it's an issue. But if they beat Atlanta, they're safe, more or less. I think even if they would lose to Detroit, they would have the tiebreaker with everybody, and they would be up 3-1. So that should get them in. I don't know if multiple teams were 2 and 3 and 1. I don't know.
Just keep playing good basketball, right? That's the easiest part.
They're in great shape. They've got a really good chance, and I think even even if they just win the group, that's something. You know, that's something they could claim, something they can point to and say, see, fellas, we're going someplace. And again, these wins matter. You know, they're like being able to say that you can beat Philadelphia on the road is a big deal. Being able to say you can beat Philadelphia on the road two nights after you got beat by them, I think is a confidence builder to say, hey, this is what you guys might be able to be as a postseason team. You know, here's the capacity that you guys have to go win in a tough environment and do it when you just got beat up and, like, look at what beat you and change. You're capable of doing that. Like, that tells them, I think, a little bit more of who they can be long term as a playoff team. So I think they see a lot of potential for growth out of this. And I would go so far as to say, as there probably aren't many teams that could use this more than they can. I think they certainly look at it and say, you know, like, this is a thing that can really build a lot of confidence for them, can build a significant amount of momentum, and can matter in the future. I mean, I think the teams that are more established don't need this. They'll take the money. It's nice to have another trophy. But, you know, if it doesn't work out for them, it doesn't work out for them. If Philly doesn't win it, you know, they'll live. But if the Pacers get in, even just if they get in the quarters and get a sense of what it's like to be in a tournament setting in the NBA, it will help. That is something that will, you know.
And the best part, they don't have to play a 7-game series against a team loaded with more payroll and better players. It's a one-off.
Right.
Anything can happen. And the belief, it's a little bit easier one night than it is saying, well, we got to go beat Embiid 4 out of 7. I mean, who wants to take on that duty? I mean, that's the reality of it. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you come out of this Philly situation having, you know, split, but you win the game that counts for this.
Right.
You know, so, like, you got it, when it comes to the tournament, at least, like, the first game could be kind of a throwaway. Like, you get the one that matters. You get the weighted game out of that week, even though that you go to Philadelphia and split. You know, you come out of it feeling like, okay, you know, we came out ahead. And same, you know, you get Cleveland at home. And so it's just there is a lot of good things that they can bring out of this. And like you said, you could take this forward. You go into the quarters, and it's one-shot deal, and then you're going to Vegas. And once you're in Vegas, it's you and 2-3 other teams, and you've got a crack at it. Even if you just get to Vegas, you can say, hey, you know, this is something we accomplished in the first half of the year, and, you know, build on that and be able to point to it. So it's nothing but good things for the Pacers. And I would say, like I said, because they're young, because they haven't, you know, been to the playoffs as a group.
They're not jaded.
No, exactly. They're not jaded. They're not old. They're having fun with this. You know, they're appreciating, and they're looking like, hey, it's something to play for right at this point, and it it keeps the juices flowing, I think, for them.
Awesome job, as always. This is why we check in with you, buddy. I hope you are calling us from Vegas here in a couple of short weeks to get us filled in on how this is all going to work itself out. They're going to play at the Sphere, right? They have to. I mean, if you're going to build that thing out there, they got to play it there, right?
Definitely. I'm sure they're not doing that. I think it's T-Mobile Arena or something.
Oh,
like that,
all right. Fine. Yeah, because you two or somebody's in the Sphere. They're charging way too much. You don't need to mess with any of that. Hey, buddy, have a great Thanksgiving. Get that dog for a walk. Tell your lovely wife hello as well, and we'll get caught up with you when the calendar turns to December.
Absolutely will. Sounds good, Glass. Talk to you soon.